Welcome back to the Packernate Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. Our own Tommy Wirtz will be joining Mason Crosby today, so make sure to check that out. Joining us right now on The Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, the amazingly wonderful Matt Fralick. You can find him on social media at Matt_Fray_ Packaday Podcast, of course. Matt, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Happy to hop on here and chat with you. Tommy running the board here, hopping in with his takes too. And it's I love the weather analysis from you two down in Milwaukee, 67 or 60 degrees and smoky. Did a little Google search to see if the Packers have ever canceled a practice because of AQI. I imagine it's never been canceled, just moved into the Don Hudson Center, but something to maybe monitor, but maybe you have an inside scoop on that.
I mean,
right now.
Matt flexing with AQI in the middle of that sentence right there, air quality index. I like that one, Matt. I like that.
There you go. The funny thing is I was going to actually ask Matt of like, hey, is there any way that like the smoke out there would affect an outdoor practice? Or have you guys thought of that? I'm like, who cares? Like, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, and he could easily just be like, nope. And then like, all right, cool. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. You know, so I did think of actually asking that question if the air quality could potentially play a factor in if they would practice outside or not. But I decided there were probably cooler questions to actually ask and try to get, you know, other information on players and stuff. So decided against it. But it did definitely cross my mind. Matt, we talked a little bit about the championship intensity of this team through the first, you know, just sort of start of training camp. Again, that was sort of the expectation from Brian Gutekunst, you know, looking for a little bit more of that kind of going into the offseason. I know you were out at practice last week. I'm not sure if you were able to get out there this week yet or not, but what has been your, you know, sort of reaction to this intensity and just kind of this hyper-focused group of Packers this season so far?
Yeah, I got out on Friday, actually, with my younger brother. He came into town, so the third practice we got out to. Haven't been able to make it out this week. Probably won't at all. Hopefully to get to another one here shortly. But, yeah, I would say the intensity kind of was setting the tone by Nate Hobbs, really, was the biggest thing that I noticed. Obviously, early on in practice, I think it was like the second play, had that over-the-middle play, Dontavian Wicks kind of, you know, making a play on the ball. I'm still kind of penduluming, like, do we want to be that intense? Do we not want to be intense? Obviously, Dontavian Wicks, there was a couple more incidents throughout the practice that he was kind of pulled aside and talked to with Matt LaFleur. And I kind of like the intensity. I mean, I've coached high school sports, and it's like, do you want a guy sliding hard into second, third, or home in a practice? Maybe, you know, practice how you play. So I can see that. But definitely him bringing it is awesome. Even like one thing that I noticed, I didn't, you know, was a little bit busy this week, Monday, Tuesday, but caught up on some stuff that just online and some of your videos on Packaday, and even just Paul Breddle talking about how Matt LaFleur had Rasheed Walker run laps. I mean, that was interesting to me. His teammates all followed suit too. Obviously, there was some intense moment between him and Nick Barry, but like, kind of just like that intensity. I kind of like Matt LaFleur getting a little bit pissed off too. He said that was probably the top three moment that Josh Jacobs had seen from him as far as getting fired up. So I love that. I love Matt LaFleur, but him being a little bit more intense and not as a player first guy, I'd love to see that. And so I think it's the intensity is there, and it's, you know, it takes a while for that to ramp up, especially early on in camp. But it seems to be there as we're a week and a half into the first couple weeks of training camp here.
Yeah, it's crazy that just started, you know, last Wednesday, and we've already had, you know, a week of practices, which seems absolutely crazy. But no, I'm right there with you. I love it. I love how just the players, the coaches, everyone is attacking this training camp so far. It just there definitely feels like that extra level of intensity, and I'm loving every single second of it. You mentioned you were out there at practice. Just kind of observations in general. Let you kind of go in any direction that you want. But what were kind of some of your takeaways? Just some of the players' plays. Anything that you saw that kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, for sure. Number one, kind of piggybacking off that Nate Hobbs stuff, the cornerback group played great. Some things were kind of given to them a little bit, maybe an underthrow here, a receiver slip, someone these kind of open. So I probably saw, you know, between the quarterbacks, I would say five or six different guys making plays. I mean, Jonathan Baldwin was even getting in the mix too. So like, yep, that kind of tells you the capacity of what those corners were doing that day. And I always have to caveat this. And I remember every year, it's kind of like when we start the regular season, right? There's going to be a couple sloppy plays or sloppy weeks here and there. Same thing with the offense. day three getting out of sync a little bit, but I would say like the offense was sloppy, but the cornerback group took advantage of it. Carrington Valentine kind of leading the charge on that as far as some of the bigger plays, and Nate Hobbs with the physicality. 2 hours long too on Friday. That was, you know, surprising to me. They kept going and going. Usually like I set my, you know, mental clock around 11:45 noon, we're going to be out of here. And it went until exactly 12:30, which was impressive. I think some of that had to do with they had a day off, obviously, on Saturday. And then also just the sloppiness of the offense. The two-minute scenario, the first one, was really bad from the threes, the twos, and the ones. So they kind of redid that again. So, again, the offense will get in sync more. We know that'll happen, you know, as we get later into August or earlier into August, I should say. The other one, just impactful, and he continues to have the streak. I don't think he's missed yet, but I've seen a lot of tweets about it recently, so I'm sure it'll happen today or tomorrow. But McManus being absolutely money. I mean, it was the first couple kicks I'm watching, I'm like, these are just dead center. He had one that snuck in on the right goalpost, but outside of that, he is just electric. Went back even last year. I'm like, I forgot we even got him later in the year, too. I forget, you know, we struggled with Anders Carlson for a few weeks, and then we finally got around to McManus. So I'm excited for him. Outside of that, like, I know Eli Berkovitz, he was there last week. So we went and, you know, talked on our Saturday episode of Packaday. He said he was pleasantly surprised and saw the dynamic plays of Savion Williams and Marshawn Lloyd. Well, Marshawn Lloyd didn't really have any incredible plays on that Friday, and Savion Williams was out with a concussion, so I didn't get to see any huge impactful offensive plays. I guess the one area of note that I'm hoping they get fixed was just the downfield plays weren't there. The longest play I think I saw in the air was maybe 15-20 yards. Some of those deep shots weren't being completed, but they'll cue that up. But yeah, it was a good practice, and intensity, like you said, was one of my main takeaways.
Yeah, your first and last point almost, you know, join each other perfectly with the secondary playing well. One of the things that you can tell is they are still very keenly aware of not allowing explosive plays. And it is something that you can tell the offense really, really has to work for and get right. If they're going to get an explosive down the field, trust me when I say they have earned it, because that defense is locked down when it comes to those. And Xavier McKinney just makes it so incredibly difficult, because you throw in his direction, it's not even like, he's going to break it up. It's like, no, he's going to pick off the pass. Like, it's such a ridiculous thing to have a player like that patrolling it, you know, very reminiscent of Nick Collins, you know, just screaming around back there in his prime, except that, you know, I think McKinney's hands are a little bit better. I say this over and over, if Nick Collins could have stayed healthy, and if that dude did not have stone hands, that he would have been, he honestly, I think, would have been in the Ed Reed conversation. Like, that, I think he was that good from a pure safety standpoint, but there were so many balls that just clanged off his hands, and he still ended up with a good amount of interceptions, don't get me wrong, including one of the biggest ones ever in the Super Bowl, of course, but man, did he have some that clanged off his hands. But yeah, you're now having that player play center field and just all over the place that is ranging and picking off passes, and it just makes it incredibly difficult to throw downfield. And yeah, early on especially, you saw Green Bay really struggled to hit on some of those plays down the field, as you mentioned. We're being joined by Matt Frelick, Packaday Podcast. Find him on social media at @Matt_Frey_. One of the things that is seemingly about to ramp up is the offensive line rotations. Jordan Morgan, it sounds like, is going to get more time at left tackle, which means that Rashid Walker and his competition is about to heat up. My assumption is that we might see something with Sean Ryan and maybe a little bit more of a battle there as well. But hopefully Aaron Banks back sooner rather than later, and now Elton Jenkins solidifying that center spot. It sounds like some of these real true competitions along the offensive line are going to heat up, and we're about to see who's going to actually earn these offensive line spots.
Yeah, it's saw the comment, I think, from Stenovich yesterday, just talking about getting Jordan Morgan more in the left tackle spot. It kind of seems like the writing's been on the wall, to be honest. You know, you talk, I know in the first 20 minutes, you were talking about just the contract that Zach Tom got, Dan Moore got, all of that. And I think it's kind of just, you know, they're seeing that they're going to want to keep Rashid Walker. It's going to cost them so much money to keep him at left tackle. I think he's going to go and get some money at it. I kind of feel bad for him a little bit, because it's like he's going to basically just sit on the bench and be a rotational guy and not make as much money as he could if he was starting this year. So it seems like Jordan Morgan's going to be the guy. It's great that we're actually going to get that competition now that some of these offensive linemen are coming back healthy. You mentioned Aaron Banks, like, still haven't been able to see him, which is a little bit frustrating. Good that Elton's back. It seems like that's water under the bridge. So that was the biggest thing I think last week we were a little bit concerned about. It's one of our best players, to be honest. So, yeah, I think the offensive line rotation is going to be great. I'm excited who they end up keeping. That's one of my favorite things. Like, we generally know, quote-unquote, who the best five are. There's probably a best six right now, but I'm excited to see how many offensive linemen they keep. Is it three or four extra ones there? And what they end up doing. We know, you know, John Williams hasn't been able to get on the field yet either. So it's at the end of the day, I think they have it's a good problem to have. I know there were some crazy moves last week. I think Travis Glover is playing left guard at 1.2. And we know with the Ben Braden days, that happens, right? We get some unpredictable offensive line rotations, and don't be too worried. Just like the offense being out of sync the first couple days, they're going to throw some stuff at us. But yeah, I'm excited for everyone to get healthy and to see how that rotation looks.
I'm starting to wonder a little bit more. This is me thinking out loud, Matt. So you get to be the my conscience that says I'm an idiot, or like the devil on my other shoulder that says, yeah, do it. I've been pretty against the entire idea all the way through of a Rashid Walker trade, or like something like that, because I think they're going to need every ounce of depth along this offensive line throughout the course of the season. I do wonder if Jordan Morgan does play really, and there's been a lot of great comments already about Jordan Morgan this offseason. I do wonder if he just wins left tackle, and let's assume Banks and Jenkins and everyone else is healthy. If they really like Jacob Monk, which it seems like they legitimately do as one of those key pieces on the interior, and if Anthony Belton does take a step where they start feeling very, very, very comfortable with him as the swing tackle, if Rashid doesn't win the starting job, there's a world that I could even see where he says, you need to trade me, because I'm losing out on literally tens of millions of dollars if I'm not a starter. Because if I can even go out and show that I'm Dan Moore, I get 20 mil per year. If I'm not starting, I'm in the maybe 8 million a year cap. Like, I might lose 12 million plus per year on a 4-year deal. I might lose $50 million if I'm not starting. You need to trade me. And I do wonder if Green Bay just starts to look at it and say, all right, we kind of like our five without Rashid. Every single time anyone asks about Rashid, it's always like, yep, needs to be with more consistency, needs to do this better, needs to do this better. Every single time. And now you had the situation that happened yesterday. I look at a team like the LA Rams, Alaric Jackson, their starting left tackle, is dealing with a blood clot issue, and they don't know what the sort of scenario is going to be there. A lot of teams do have their left tackle solidified, but if there's a situation like that and some team comes calling and offers something of significance for Rashid Walker, I'm now maybe letting it play out a little bit more of like, while I still kind of don't want it, it's a little bit more intriguing to me at the moment.
Yeah, I told you with the idea over the offseason, I think it was maybe a month or so ago, maybe the last time I was on the radio show here with you, and like, I kind of talked myself out of the idea. It seems great, like, hey, get this extra piece. I guess the factor, there's a couple factors that I play. It's basically three. It's like, what does the market look like? You just mentioned the guy from the Rams having blood clot issues, which are always terrifying, especially, as a professional athlete. So if the market goes up for him, that's great. The second one being what you just mentioned, missing out on tens of millions of $50 million. Like, that would be the Rashid Walker camp probably advocating for it. And I think the other one is what you just mentioned too. Like, the first one is like, if Anthony Belton can turn into a swing tackle, then we're probably okay. That's kind of the area I go. Like, it would be great. And it's not a great comparison, because I don't think it's, fair for either of the player, but like, I look at like when we had Yash Nijman, it was nice to have that backup. Rashid Walker would be great to have that backup. I think they're different players entirely, but it's always great to have that, because we don't know, is Jordan Morgan one of those injury prone guys? I tend to think not. I think it's just one of those one-off years. But if you don't have Jordan Morgan and you don't have Rashid Walker, like, you're in a world of hurt. I mean, I don't even think it's pretty understated, I would say. So I would hang on to him as long as you can. But if the market keeps getting driven up by a lineman getting hurt, I mean, every day with training camp, we see people getting hurt all the time right now going on IR. I know the Dolphins are in some issues there on the defensive side. So maybe there's a left tackle that goes down. And then I think the X factor might be the Rashid Walker camp, how patient he wants to be. But it's going to be a great competition. I mean, even just going into family night this weekend, like, we're going to be watching who's starting that left tackle for family, even though it means next to nothing. But even going into the preseason games too, it's going to be one of the bigger competitions, and it's ramping up right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, it really is. And to your point, like, you really don't want to trade depth along the offensive line, because it gets very scary, very, very fast. Which is why I've been against it. It's a little bit more on the top of my mind now with, just some of the stuff that's either been said and just some of the competition. So we'll see how this goes, and it'll be interesting kind of see how this ultimately plays out. I think we're going to end up with a Jordan Morgan, Rashid Walker sort of like a rotation at left tackle this year. But again, long way to go, and lots of different things that could happen between now and then. Can be joined by Matt Frelick, Packaday Podcast. Find him on social media at Matt_Frey_. Matt, I know that you take a lot of pride in you know, looking at different jerseys, jersey numbers, swag, you know, the real vibes and aura coming off of whether it's a jersey number or the different throwback jerseys, etc. So I would be remiss not to ask you your thoughts on the new Packers jerseys, the uniform. Are they a 10 out of 10? Are they a huge swing and miss? How are you viewing these new throwbacks?
Yeah, you know, in the era of social media, it's, you know, it sucks first off that it got leaked. That doesn't help. I feel bad. You know, I work in marketing for a living, so like I imagine the Packers PR team, the social media team is like, cool, thanks Dick's Sporting Goods for leaking that. So that kind of got,
right,
you know, the floodgates open right away. Honestly, like the jersey by itself, hated it. When you put everything together, love it. Like I think the helmet is great. My little brother was talking about, he's like, Illinois football team did that. I'm like, I don't care. Like the fact that they're doing airbrushed helmets and all those customizations are cool. So I came around to a little bit more. I thought it was hilarious. I think it was it the first day of practice? You came back and you were doing your live stream. I watched it after and everyone in the chat was just like, these jerseys suck. And you're like standing out. You're like, no, I love these.
I love them. I absolutely love them.
I didn't love them as much as I did. I love them more than I did that day, but I don't think I love them as much as you do. So it's good. I think it's fun. It's something completely unique and different that they've done. And I think just going with the helmet is, I mean, it's unbelievable that they would just put that much time and energy in it. Cause like in the past, it's not like, hey, we're just going to rip off the G and you're going to get a yellow helmet, kind of boring. So I think everything combined is great. But individually, I love the helmet by itself, that jersey, not super sold on it. Saw a couple of them at camp on Friday. A lot of Josh Jacobs number 8 jerseys in that throwback, but it's cool. It's gonna sell. The merch I think is gonna be fantastic too. That was one thing I agree with you on. I think all that merch that rolls up with the new logo and just the color schemes are always fun. Those, you know, alternative yep. stuff.
I love the navy blue stuff when it comes to the Packers too. Right. Huge fan. So I already got a few things and excited about that. But no, I'm almost the opposite. I love the jersey. The whole uniform is like fine or whatever. The helmet's fine. But the jersey itself, I think it's the cleanest throwback jersey that they've had up until this point. So I'm also old and have no taste whatsoever. So, you know, what the heck do I know? All right. Before I get you out of here, really quick. Look ahead to Packers family nights. I know it's a glorified practice. It's nothing too much crazier than what we get on a normal training camp day. But what are you kind of looking forward to? What are you hoping to see from Packers family night?
Three things and pretty simple. One, it looks like the Packers might be streaming it based off a tweet they had this morning, little bit of a tease. So that's like, finally, like, why not? I mean, in the past, I know there's been like local, like NBC 26, I think maybe had it on their website. They didn't have it streamed, you know, on broadcast. So like, thank goodness. I don't know why you wouldn't. So that's one. Number two, no injuries. No injuries, no injuries. Please, please, please don't get hurt in a glorified practice. And then number three, who's throwing in the net? Like, who's money in the net? That's all I really care for. And I know that's been a big thing for the number of years. But, like, I love seeing who can, you know, make some splashes in the net. Can Elgersma kind of be the rookie that comes in and takes over the scene there? I don't think Jordan Love will be ever as accurate as Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think it's, you know, tough. It's tough to say that he would be able to compete with what Aaron did in the past, but I love the QB throwing in the net. And then I think the other, I guess the fourth thing, even though I said it was three, just like the off the or on the sideline stuff, you get the reporters down there kind of talking to some guys that maybe didn't even suit up and just kind of getting some tidbits there. And it's a lot more laid back and a little bit longer format stuff. So I love hearing what they're saying and maybe about competition there, new players that are coming in and just getting some tidbits there. But it's a nice thing to have in the background. And if you're going to training camp or if you're going on Saturday, I imagine it's gonna be super hot, and I've been to some of those in the past, and it's just insane. So plan accordingly if you're bringing the small kids and the family. But yeah, good entertainment, good way to break it up. But yeah, I used to put it on the pedestal pretty hard, and at this point, it's low hanging fruit for me. So, but it's still great. I'm still excited to turn that on a Saturday and see some competition.
It is. I'll be out there. Should be a fun night of football, and just getting all the fans out there to watch a practice is still unbelievable. And again, it just kind of shows the beautiful fandom that we have here in Green Bay, to say the least. Matt, I cannot thank you enough. All the work that you do on Packaday, of course, and for taking some time to join us today. Tell us where we can find you on social media and anything you want to plug on the way up.
Yeah, always a blast to hop on. For me, you can still find me on Twitter, like Andy's mentioned, at Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. If you're coming into town for preseason games, whatever it is, regular season, reach out in the DMs. Happy to plug any places that you maybe should go or visit. Actually, I met some people at training camp, Andy, that drove from like St. Paul, Minnesota at like 3 a.m. I was sitting by them at training camp on Friday, so they're asking places to eat, places to go. got
love it.
Boots on the ground. We're able to recommendations. As far as plug, we have Saturday Pack-A-Day podcast episode. I would say every Saturday, generally it'll be the injury report going into the weekend. This week, actually, we'll do kind of a little bit of a recap. Eli and I on Saturday for what training camp looked like. Also, we're going to get joined by Haley Becker of the Green Bay Packers. So she's been with the team for about 15 years in five different roles, started as like basically working in the pro shop. She's now the manager of fan engagement, kind of runs the Packers everywhere meetups and stuff. So excited to have her on for half the episode just to pick her brain and see what all that is, what encompasses that. I've never been to some of those meetups, but I know they get highly attended, especially when outside of Green Bay. So it'll be cool to have her on, but look forward to that on Tuesday. And then after that, we're basically going to be previewing preseason games for the next couple weeks, which is kind of a blast for us too. So check that out, and always support Pack-A-Day Podcast any way you guys know how.
Appreciate you a ton. That is Matt Frelick. Matt, I'm sure we're going to talk again soon. Hopefully I can see you out at training camp sometime here in the near future, and we'll catch up very soon.
Awesome. Take care.
Yeah, you bet. That is the one and only Matt Frelick. A huge thank you to him for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Again, follow him at Matt_Frey_. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We'll be right back with more right after this.